the more you know about wine, the more you realize you really don't know much.
One thing that is so exciting about Australian wine, and I suspect the wine industry internationally, is that everyone's got a story.
You know, you're trying to actually just make each one of these vineyards kind of sing its own song.
But I think people don't realize how much energy, that's part of the fun of what we do.
Wine writing has devolved to coming up with as many descriptors of the wine. Oh, this is cherries, this is apricots, this is prunes.
We say, so drink the wine. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 368. This week we feature Taylor Saris of Saris Ranch in Sonoma. Family farm forms the backbone of America. Many farms are often multi-generational and are still going strong in the year 2020. In the case of Taylor Saris of Saris Ranch in Sonoma, part of that business is being an entrepreneur. Cows, blueberries, vineyards, and now wine make up a good part of Taylor's busy day. We met with Taylor at Saris Ranch a few weeks ago to learn about the new label being created from a vineyard that is very well known to winemakers in Sonoma. You can also hear Taylor on our Vino Lingo segment, defining the wine term hat toss. I'm here with Taylor Saris in Sonoma, and Taylor, I didn't say what your title is, did I? Do you have a title?
Well, when you work for your family, you kind of don't really have a, it's kind of like a, you just jump in and help wherever you need to. I guess you could say kind of company officer, but you know, come harvest time, I'm driving tractors or negotiating contracts. Come blueberry season, we're picking blueberries and running the packing line, gathering cows. So there's really not like a one level title.
Many hats.
Yeah, kind of. You just do what you got to do to get the job done.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you're listening to Taylor Saris of Saris Ranch. And right here in Sonoma on what is not such a bad day. The sky is a little bit blue. No rain yet?
Yeah. Apparently we're supposed to get a big downpour sometime later today, but...
Good. I can't wait.
Yeah, right?
Well, thanks for taking the time today. I guess we start off talking about the fact that you really do wear a number of hats, because as I came up the driveway, yes, you mentioned cows. You mentioned that you guys grow blueberries north of here.
Yes.
And of course, you grow grapes. So let's talk about grapes specifically. How many acres are you farming here?
Our acreage, the total ranch is about 200 acres. We have 126 planted acres.
What grapes are you growing?
We grow primarily Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Malbec, Petit Verdot, Oleotico, Barbera, Zin, Syrah, did I already say Syrah? And then Tannat is our newest varietal.
Aleatico and Tannat, not too common around here, I would say.
No, we're actually the only grower in District 3 that grows Aleatico.
That's pretty cool. What led you to decide to do that?
Probably 12, 14 years ago, my dad put the Aleatico in. We were selling a lot of fruit to Vianza Winery, and they, my dad and Sam Sebastiani were very good friends and, you know, personal friends, but then also business relationship. And so he asked us to put it in. Because, you know, the Italian varietals, they did, of course, a rosé, but then they also did a red wine, and then they also did a dessert wine. So they had three different wine styles for that one specific varietal. And so we've kept it, and we sell it to a couple wineries around Sonoma County, and we recently are creating a new little project of our own for the Saris Ranch wine label.
And that's going to be the name, Saris Ranch?
Yeah, Saris Ranch Wine. We are pretty known in the Valley. I'm fifth generation. My nephews are sixth generation. So we've been here for quite a while. And like you said earlier, we grow blueberries. So I'd probably say we're just as well known for our blueberries, if not more, than the grapes. But we do have quite the following. And so we thought that it would be best to put our name on the label to move forward.
Good, great. We've already talked with a couple of winemakers today, and I always like to tell people, gee, there's great Cabernet coming. While Napa, you know, Cab is king in Sonoma, Cab is awesome. There's some great Cabernet over here.
Yes, I would have to agree. I would say, I mean, I would never knock Napa because they do a very good job with their farming practices and their winemaking, and they have a good product. But I think that Sonoma has just as good. And one of, you know, the strengths of Sonoma is that our county is so diverse that you can grow many different varietals, from, you know, Chardonnay to Pinot Noir to Cabernet to Tannat to Aliotico. You know, the list is endless.
What makes it so diverse?
We have different microclimates in the different areas. So, for instance, like the Alexander Valley is more of a hotter region, warmer region. And then, for instance, the Carneros, Los Carneros AVA, is super cool and has that coastal climate as well as Sonoma Coast, of course. And then Sonoma Valley, I would say it gets, you know, moderately warm in the summertime, but it's not, it cools down at night. And I would say that's the difference between, you know, for instance, Alexander Valley and the Sonoma Valley is Sonoma Valley cools off at night when Alexander Valley has those longer degree days because it stays warm.
Right, right. So we did mention a few minutes ago about the cows, and are these beef cows?
Yes. My brother and I have a cow-calf operation up in Northern California, the same place where we grow blueberries. Obviously, they're separate. But yes, we have Angus cows, Hereford bulls, so it's the A1 cross, and we grow, raise the young calves, and then sell them off, and then they go to finish and then be harvested.
Oh, neat. Yeah. It's funny because as I came up again, I saw them and they, a couple of them had the longer horns, which were almost like the Highland Coos, but without the hair.
Yeah. So these ones, the ones here are more for play. We're actually going to, my brother and I are going to start a couple years down the road, a little operation of grass-fed longhorn, because longhorn is actually the leanest meat of the bovine species, and so we're gonna start that up, but we're gonna grow our herd a little bit more. But the cows up in Laytonville are basically your black cows, Angus cows, so not as pretty to look at but good producers.
Sure. Well, clearly you grew up in this farming world.
I did, yes.
And were you a 4-H kid?
I was.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, started at 9 and finished at 18.
Nice.
And then did FFA and you know, just continued on from there.
So you're starting a wine label, which is going to be the first time with this incredibly long history here. That's a big deal.
It is. So basically, my dad started the, you know, in the viticulture world. He planted grapes. His first vineyard went in 1986, before I was born. And then he was always, you know, into the winemaking side, but just did homemade stuff. But everyone loved it and raved about it. And so we've always had the goal to one day have our own wine label, but it just never really came to fruition. They dabbled a little bit with some other stuff, but it just didn't come out the way my dad wanted it. And he's has very high standards for his product. And so I went to college down at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, majored in wine and viticulture with an emphasis in enology. I've always had an interest in the winemaking side. And so from there, came home, took over the homemade winemaking stuff. And so that's really fun because it's something that my dad and I can do. And then my brother comes, well, I have two older brothers. So they come in and help when it's in dire need because they're very busy themselves. And so then we have our annual bottling party. So it's always been a big party and fun and just, you know, that's what wine's all about. It's just fun, bringing everyone together. And then we've always talked about the idea of, okay, we need to put our name on the shelf, so to speak. And it never really came to fruition. Then finally we're like, okay, better do it now before everyone jumps off into other direction and adds new businesses or whatever may happen. So we started off with 2018, and that's when we brought in our first vintage, and we have all red grapes, so it does take a while for our grapes to lay down in the bottle, obviously age in the barrel and then mature in the bottle. So with this bigger red wine that we are making, our first vintage will be released in 2021.
Very nice. Well, I wish you guys good luck.
Thank you.
That's great.
We'll get you some bottles once it's out.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, are you the winemaker?
I work with a winemaker that we're consulting with. So we have direct relation. Actually, the winemaker, he has been making wine from our grapes since, I don't even know when I was a young, young kid. So we've known him for a long time. So we have a lot of history. So it's a really fun project.
Is it your intent to be more the winemaker as time goes on?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely need more experience, and so I wouldn't want to put all the eggs in my basket because I don't want to sell ourselves down the river and make some terrible stuff.
That would be bad.
Yes, I definitely don't want to do that. It is a big investment, so we want to make the right investment. So, later down the road, probably we'll take over the winemaking side of things, but for now, we're having a consultant come in.
about how many cases are you thinking you're doing?
It's going to be very small. So we started out, our first vintage is about 250 cases. Mm. So very, very small. And then 2019, we're probably, we just finished harvest, well, a month ago, I would say. And we're probably at the 400 case range. So we really want to focus on direct to consumer, bringing people out here to the ranch, yeah. taking them around, you know, seeing the different vineyards. We have a nice picnic area out in the middle of the vineyards, and then we have a nice little winery that we're retrofitting where I make my homemade wine that will turn into like a little inside tasting room for the winter time.
Nice.
So it's definitely, we want to have that connection. We're trying to tell people our story, because we did a survey when we were trying to figure out like what we wanted to name it. We did a bunch of market research, and the biggest thing was people always wanted to know what was behind the gate. I don't know what, because to me it's like, come on down, like more the merrier. It's not a mystery to me, obviously. Yeah. Born and raised here, so of course it's not a mystery. But we do have an entrance off of Highway 12 for our property, and everyone wanted to know what was, you know, behind the stone pillars and the gate. So telling our story and getting out there. We do have a lot of history here. My current house that I live in was Fighting Joe Hooker's original ranch house, because he used to own this property before the Saris family did. And so just having that history, it was the first prefab home that came around the Cape.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And so wow. from Sweden.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. It has been, you know, retrofitted over the years, sure. obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool. The history and the authenticity is basically what we're, you know, and our story, of course, is what we're trying to sell with that bottle of wine.
Sure. Did it have IKEA stamped on the side? I'm kidding.
No.
No, I had to say, you know that.
Yes.
So tell me, what is Sonoma Sustainable?
So Sonoma County Sustainable, it is the sign that you saw as you came down the driveway. That is the stamp of sustainability. We are third-party certified by the California Wine Institute, the California Sustainable Wine Institute. And then we're in the process of fish-friendly farming for our farm plan that you have to have for Sonoma Valley. So there's many different levels to it. But basically, it's focusing on the three main sectors of your, you know, your community, your people, including your employees, the generational farming, so the sustainable practices that you have, not just for your farming practices, but also your management practices. For instance, we have most of our employees that we have been working for us for over 10 years. Our main foreman, Gabino Ramirez, he was awarded the 2018 Employee of the Year for the Sonoma County Wine Grape Foundation.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was a huge accomplishment. I get shivers about it. It was awesome. It was a really, really cool event. But he was the first one, because they just started in 2018. So that was really cool. He started off the group, and I believe they're awarding the 2019, so the second Employee of the Year this year, in a couple days, I think. So sustainability is having that generational farming, obviously having a business plan that works to continue on with your farming, but then, with your business, but then also your management practices, ensuring that you're not putting more fertilizer or pesticide or spray out in the vineyard than you have to. So just doing what needs to be done. It's basically like the easy way of thinking about sustainability. And then I am the chair of the sustainability committee for the Sonoma County Wine Grape Committee.
Well, I think this all kind of falls in line with your background being in 4-H, being a farm girl. It flows in your blood just as much as growing grapes, right?
100%. Yeah. Agriculture through and through is, you know, when I came back from college, I worked for the Vintners and Growers Alliance, and I put on the Sonoma Harvest Wine Auction and the Taste of Sonoma event for about 5 years. And then because my family has a rule that you have to go work for somebody else for 5 years before you can come back to the family business. And so my brothers and I, we all did that. And now we're all working back for one sector or another. But I have always been agriculture through and through. In college, I was part of all the ag clubs. I just definitely, it's what I'm all about.
Sure.
And I don't ever see myself getting away from that.
No, I don't think so.
No. Even if there are other things out there, and I do have obviously other interests, but the one that is like near and dear and true to me is agriculture.
How do you have time for other interests? We were talking about cows, talking about blueberries, talking about grapes, we have a ranch. It's a lot of stuff to handle, and this is something that takes vigilance and time.
Yes. That's impressive. It does. You know, my dad set an awesome foundation for my brothers and I to continue on. So, you know, practicing that sustainability, we're now, I'm, like I said, fifth generation, and the family, we're doing the best that we can to keep it in the family, of course. We'll do anything that we can, especially the ranch, but also the businesses, and to continue on and grow and do what's best, you know, for our community, for our families, because if, you know, you can't only look out for your family, you have to have your community involved as well, because that's who really is your biggest supporter.
Sure. And of course, eventually this property will be handed down to hopefully someone else in the family, and exactly. The rest need to take an example of that.
Yes.
Yeah. It's refreshing to hear you talk about this, your enthusiasm because of so much of this being in your blood. But was there a time when you wanted to be maybe in a different business that, I mean, you said you worked for someone else, but did you ever think, well, I want to go live in the city or something like that?
No.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I was, there was times like when I was a young girl, I was like, oh, maybe I want to be a veterinarian. But everything was always somehow connected to agriculture, not necessarily for my family, but agriculture in general. And then as I got older, I was like, you know what? We have such a good foundation. Why wouldn't I build off of that? And that's kind of my mindset. As I did tell you before, I opened a new business, a wellness center called Sonoma Cryo in Sonoma. And it's obviously not connected to agriculture or construction, which my family is also a part of. But it is part of that community aspect. So be it ag, be it community, I do want to stay within that Sonoma Valley feeling. But my goal is to get that business going and kind of let it run itself, and come back, of course, to the family and continue on with the wine grape growing and the blueberries and the cattle and the construction and all of that.
Sure. Now, you know, you're a younger person and you have a lot ahead of you with all these different ventures you're heading into. But when it comes to the land, the earth, climate change, whatever it might be, what are your concerns for the future? Or maybe I should say, what are your biggest concerns for the future?
My biggest concerns for the future would definitely be, best farming, best practices. There are, unfortunately, bad eggs in every industry. So we do want to encourage positive farming in all aspects of agriculture. I am part of a group called the California Ag Leadership Program, and it is a 17-month long fellowship. And what we do is it's all about leadership. We're all connected because of agriculture, but it's all about leadership and personal growth. So coming from Sonoma County, coming from the North Bay, Northern California, basically, it's a totally different world up here than it is down in the Central Valley.
Oh, yeah.
And this program has really opened my eyes to that. Because I kind of always had the impression that, you know, people, they're not just going to throw stuff out on the field. They're going to do their research and figure out what's best and then only do that minimal amount. Well, I think we are moving in that direction, but it's definitely educating the public on what farmers are doing and why they are doing that. And it's not only, you know, the pesticides or the herbicides or the sprays or the chemicals. It's just all farming practices, because you hear a lot of, you know, you can't till, you can't water, you can't this, you can't that. And you really need to do that, because tilling, there are benefits to it. There are, you know, you're aerating the ground, you're getting oxygen and nutrients into that earth and to that soil to boost the microbiological factors and growth in there. So it is positive. And so just getting out there and educating. Obviously, climate change is coming down the pipeline. There are studies, of course. I am not versed enough in climate change, so I would say that I am concerned about it, but I need to do a lot more research personally to ensure that I know what I'm talking about. But I think that's what it really comes down to is, one, getting out and educating the public. And I know that, for instance, you know, myself compared to my dad has been farming his entire life, and he does what's best for his property.
Sure, yeah.
And he's obviously also not going to waste money, you know, spraying things that are not necessary. And so getting out and telling that story is going to be the most important aspect. But he's, you know, older, and what he wants to do is farm. Yeah. He doesn't want to have to deal with, you know, all the scrutiny and all of the regulations. And so that's where the next generation comes in. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a family member. It's just a younger person that has that fire and that drive that needs to get involved and needs to educate.
I think you've got some fire and drive yourself.
I would think so. I hope so.
I want to put this question specific to the wine business. And again, you're still limited to not being in the bottling end of things, but what makes you crazy about the wine business?
Makes me crazy in a good way or a bad way?
People ask that question. I like that. Both.
Both. Crazy in a good way is that there's room for everyone and there is a wine for everyone out there. You know, I've even said it myself, like, are we crazy for getting into the wine side? Like, everyone's starting to make their own wine. Everyone's starting to make, you know, plant their own grapes. Like, what are we doing? Should we try to think of something outside of the box? And while we are doing a couple projects that are a little outside of the box and not the norm, we still have to stay true to ourselves and telling our story. And that's what we're hoping to count on, that we will do a good enough job basically marketing ourselves and our ranch, and the bottle will prove that. So that's what we're crazy good about. Crazy bad about? I don't know. It's always changing. And so that's not a bad thing at all. But definitely you need to stay up on the times and up on, you know, the latest news and what's happening, not only with like the trends, but also the regulations and the rules and the compliance that you have to fulfill. It's a big thing. So it's, you know, it's a job in itself, just the regulations, or it's a job in itself, just the compliance. And, you know, when you're a small operation, when you're a family operation, you do it all. So you're, you know, long nights, long hours, especially during harvest. But I wouldn't change it for the world.
That's cool. Well, yeah. And as a wine grower, you're a manufacturer, you're a retail, you're wholesale. I mean, you're all that stuff.
Right.
And on top of cows and blueberries.
Exactly.
Taylor, obviously many things are in the future for what you're doing right now, but for the time being, if our listeners want to learn a little bit about you and about the wine, how would they find out about you on the web?
So our website is sarisranchwine.com. So it's pretty simple. You can Google Saris Ranch. Saris Ranch Wine will come up. And then obviously Facebook and Instagram, Saris Ranch Wine.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking some time this afternoon or this morning. I'm not sure what it is anymore, but I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Learn more by visiting sariscorp.com.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Additional original music by Ray Pfister. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Geeshan. Copyright 2020.